tribe enemy. And that we should take refuge in him. From the accursed devil. Meaning that by ourselves we cannot defend ourselves. It is said that if I would not have to said أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم before I started talking to you, that Shaitan al-Ayin is going to change my words in your ears and you will misunderstand me. If you do not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before you start eating, Shaitan al-Ayin is going to share what you eat with you. In your private life, when you have intimacy with your wife, if you do not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim beforehand, the shaitan will be between you and your wife. It is so bad. What happened when Allah Ta'ala has created our father Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and blew his soul from his own soul into him and taught him his names? He called the angels and asked them to prostrate themselves in front of Adam alayhi salam. And all did but Iblis. And when he asked him why did he disobey him, Shaitan al-Ayin said, because I am superior to him, for you have created him out of earth and you have created me out of fire. One single disobedience and Allah Ta'ala kicked him out of mercy. But when he asked Allah Ta'ala to try to take humankind out of Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah Ta'ala, for reasons of his own, has given him permission to do so till the end of time. And he said, as it is mentioned in the Quran, he will attack us from our right, from our left, from our front, from our back, from all directions. Sort of we are surrounded by him. But there is one direction which he is not permitted to attack us. It's from inside of us. Now, although all these terrible news of this horrible, terrible, all-powerful enemy, there are certain interesting things which we should consider. Who is this creature? Now Allah Ta'ala mentions in an ayat that he is a jinn, but he says that he is a jinn after that incident which I have mentioned to you. It is clearly in Surah Araf, Allah Ta'ala says, we have asked all the angels to prostrate in front of Adam, and all the angels prostrated in front of him except Iblis. So he was amongst the angels. According to the tradition, he was an angel called Haris. Haris, those of you who know Arabic, those of you who know Turkish, know what it means. It means the ambitious one. And when Rasulullah went to his miraj, on the way, he has seen palaces made out of jewels in ruins. And he asked to Jibreel alayhi salam, to which angel, to which prophet to belong these palaces? And Jibreel alayhi salam said that it belonged to Haris. He prayed to Allah Ta'ala 10,000 years in this palace, 100,000 years in this other palace. He was indeed ambitious. For ambitious for what? Ambitious, like all of us, for the approval and for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Except this ambition and this extra worship of thousands of years which he had done afflicted him with the first and worst of the seven sins, which is called ujub. Ujub is the kind of arrogance which makes you say that you are a better servant of Allah than the next person, that you are a better Muslim than everybody else, and that you are going to go to paradise while everybody else is going to go to hell. And that worst of the seven greater sins is the mother of all evil, because it also makes you stupid. Because his disobedience to Allah Ta'ala by saying that he is superior to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, because he is made of fire and Hazrat Adam is made of earth, is not true. Because Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, his shell, his flesh, which we carry on ourselves, is not only made of earth, but it is made of earth mixed with water, dried in air, and warmed and dried in the fire of the sun. So he is made out of the four primary elements of water and earth and ether and fire. But when Allah Ta'ala asked the angels to prostrate in front of Adam, Allah Ta'ala did not ask them to prostrate in front of that matter which is made out of earth and water and fire and ether. He made them to prostrate what is divine, is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. That is to say, the Asma'ul Husna and his divine soul. So the devil, in the stupidity which is the cause of his arrogance, can only see the outside and can only attack us from outside, but not from inside. The only way he can succeed is when he allies himself with our private devil, which Allah Ta'ala also has created and placed in each, every one of us as a mechanism of testing us, which is called our nafs ammara, our egos. So they are natural friends, they are natural allies, because the devil is outside of us, we cannot have the force and the ability to protect ourselves from him from outside. But because our ego is inside of us, we may be able to educate our ego so it does not ally with the devil which is outside of us. But most of the time, we do identify ourselves and we do not know any better than identifying ourselves with our egos. Each time we say I, each time we say me, each time we say mine, we are identifying ourselves with our egos. But what makes us truly human is our soul. Allah Ta'ala forbids us to talk about the soul. In the Quran, he says, they will ask you of the soul. All what you can tell is that the soul is under the command of your Lord. So we have, each and every one of us, a divine soul which is responsible to keep us alive in this life, which Allah Ta'ala says is under his command. So no matter how weak it may be, because its commander is the most powerful, that it has certainly the power of that which commands it. So what are we afraid of? What is iman? What is faith? Faith is in believing Allah Ta'ala, which is invisible. Soul is also invisible. Allah Ta'ala is eternal soul is also eternal. Allahu Ta'ala is Huwal Baqi, he is the only one who is eternal and who will live forever. So is the soul. Allahu Ta'ala is Ya Hay, the ever living. So is the soul. When is the last time that you have faced your soul? When is the last time you have communicated with your souls? When is the last time that you have felt inside of you someone which is other than your egos? Faith is the recognition of what is divine in us. We think of Allah Ta'ala up in the skies, all around us, although it is sinful to attribute to Him a space. We think He is all-seeing. We think that He is all-knowing. But we think of Him as outside. And He clearly says that I do not fit into the heavens and earth, and I fit into the loving heart of my believing servant. That is what He is talking about our soul. But we live thinking that we are that flesh, which in reality is a vehicle which carries our soul. Flesh gets old, flesh gets sick, flesh has desires, flesh has desires which do not fit into the will of Allah Ta'ala that we should be having and we should be doing. And finally, the flesh dies. Soul does not. Nasreddin Hoca was sitting one day and was saying, kuchu kuchu kuchu, ha ha ha ha ha, husht husht, ha ha ha ha ha. Hoca, what are you doing? They said, and he said that he was playing with the devil. In Turkish, when you say kuchu kuchu kuchu to your dog, comes to you. When you say hush, it runs away. So Nasreddin Hoca was playing with the devil like a dog. So can we all. But we are like the dervish who came to his sheikh and said, oh my sheikh, you know I do everything wrong. I cannot do my prayers. I cannot fast during the Ramadan. And I do everything which is evil I am capable of doing. That devil is stealing my faith from me, he said. And all of a sudden, whoops, the devil appeared. Have you seen the devil? Rasulullah and his ashab has seen the devil, and they have got a description of him. He is very, very ugly. He is blind in one eye. He has no hair on his face except a couple of long ears dangling from his chin. And he has got an extremely ugly voice. Well, you haven't seen him. In any case, when the dervish complained about him and accused him of stealing his weight from him, he appeared in front of the Shaykh and said, "I am sorry, Shaykh, your dervish is lying. Allah Ta'ala has not permitted me," he said, "to steal anybody's faith." He said that they throw it away, and I pick it up whenever they throw it away. I don't know if you have read it is in Effendi's Irshad, that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the house of Abu Ayyub, and Anas ibn Malik, who was there, and he's the one who is reciting this hadith. The reason that I am reading it to you is that we should really listen very, very carefully. And see if we belong amongst the friends of the accursed devil, or if we are one of his enemies, which he hates. We were at the house of Abu Ayyub. An ugly voice came from the street and saying, "O Rasulullah, I ask permission for an audience." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, "Do you know the owner of this voice?" We answered, "Allah and His Rasul knows best." He said, "It is the Shaytan al-A'in. He couldn't possibly come here unless he has been instructed by Allah Ta'ala." Hazrat Umar jumped and pulled out his sword and he said, "Give me permission, Ya Rasulullah, to cut off his head and to save the humankind." "Sit down, Ya Umar. Neither you nor anybody can do any harm to him till the end of time. And let him come," said he. So he came and he said that Allah Ta'ala has sent him to come to Rasulullah, and that he was going to ask him questions, and liar that he is obliged to answer him truthfully. So the first question of Rasulullah was, "Tell me, Ya Iblis, who are your friends amongst my ummah?" said Ya Rasulullah. And the Iblis pointed at him, "You I hate most is my first enemy. And the 124,000 prophets which Allah Ta'ala has sent before you since Adam," said he. And he said, "I have 15 special enemies amongst your people. Besides you, the second one are the alims who act in their lives what they teach. The third one are those who study the Quran al-Kareem and apply it in their lives. The fourth one are the muezzins who call the believers to pray to Allah Ta'ala 5 times a day. The fifth are the poor who accept their lot and their destiny and who do not complain and show patience. The sixth are the compassionate people who forgive the ones who do wrong to them. The seventh are the generous people who help the people who are in need. The eighth are those who pray morning prayer in time. The seven are those who try to bring people close to Allah and away from me, he said. And the tenth are those who try to avoid what is haram, what is unlawful. The 11th are those who have their ablution at all times. And those who have a conscience and have a sense of shame. The 13th is Ahli Tawakkul, those who trust in Allah and accept whatever comes from Him, whether good or bad. 14th are the friends of the needy and the orphans. 15, the Zahids and the Abids, those whose primary activity in life is the worship of their Lord. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "And who are your friends amongst my people?" And he said, 10. The first are the tyrants who have power over others. The second, the arrogant ones. The third, those who support the tyrants and hide the truth. The fourth, those who cheat and overcharge in commerce. 5, the drunks. 6, those who lead people astray. 7, the gossipers. 8, those who take advantage of others. 9, those who hate others for their own benefit. And 10, those who incite people to be enemies of each other. That's the authentic hadith taken from our Shaykh's book for us to consider whether we are friends of the accursed devil or we are his enemies. And we can count of Allah's strength behind us to fight it. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I mean, we do not always attribute our wrongdoings to the shaitan, but we do attribute our wrongdoings to anger. You know, I did this and that. Well, because of anger, this and that. Or I did this because of my wife. She did this and that, and that's why I did this bad thing. Or to my child. Or go to any psychiatrist, your mother and your father are the evil ones, you know, who made you such a murderer and such a horrible person. Never. It's your own fault. So all these poor guys which you accuse of, usually the ones who really love you and who are really closest to you, you know, your mother, your father, your child, your wife, your friend, those become the devils, or the devil become them. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم In this strange, in a hadith, Allah Ta'ala says, but I don't know whether it's a hadith or an ayat even. I think it's an ayat. Whatever good comes to you, he says, is from me. And whatever bad comes from you, he says, is from you. He doesn't say, from the shaitan. So inshallah, one day we will be able to make our egos into a Muslim and prevent him from being attacked from out inside as well as outside. So, what should we talk about?
We don't have Anna
besides here. Besides the devil?
We don't have Anna here to ask the questions. The one who was here last week.
Oh, right, the Brazilian isn't here. Well,
Yusuf will ask questions.
Shagir is always here, yeah.
He wants to leave.
But Shakir chooses to be silent today.
Arkadaki beyimiz elini gördüm.
Evet.
Yes.
Evet.
Sheikh, can you please enlighten us with the word Ihsan?
Ihsan.
Ne dedi oğlum?
Bizi ihsan konusunda, ihsan konusunda aydınlatır mısınız dedi.
Jibril alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ya Rasulullah, said he, I have brought you a gift from Allah Ta'ala. What is it, Ya Jibril? Said he, and he said, it is Ihsan. What is Ihsan, Ya Jibril? Ihsan is if you do not see Allah Ta'ala, know that He sees you at all times. Ihsan is a strengthening of the faith to the point that you are in a state of zikri daim, meaning that you at all times are aware of the existence of Allah. And you are aware that He sees you. Not only He sees you from outside, how you look, what you do, what you say, but He also sees you from inside. He's not fooled when you take out $1,000 from your pocket and give to the refugees in Syria who are hungry and wounded and bleeding. But He also sees inside that you really do not do that in Allah's name and for His sake and for the sake of the hungry and the wounded, but you do it so that you will be praised by others. Now, one of the most important thing in Islam is tawbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if you make tawbah, it's as if you have not sinned. True tawbah. Because there are certain, many of the things which we do, like we hide from the police and from the law, we think that we can hide it from Allah Ta'ala too. Yeah? And we do things which even closest to us, that our wives and our husbands doesn't know, you know, that we are all together, our children, our parents don't know, you know, nobody knows. Yeah? And we think we can get away with it. Yeah? And so if you wish that important action, which is more important than really worship, yeah? Tawbah is only a product of Ihsan, that you feel that, you know, no matter how you try to hide it, He sees it. And then you have to ask Him, you know, to forgive you. You already knew that. And you checked if I knew it too, didn't you? So, who else wants to test me? You see, I have a, thank God, a protection. When my Shaykh 40 years ago, permitted me and ordered me to talk to people, he said, never, never say anything of your own self, even if you believe that it's a revelation from God. Even if you're 100% sure that we are what you are saying is the truth, do not say it if it is from you. So say it if you have heard it from me, said my sheikh, or from your sheikhs, because afterwards, you know, I have seen other sheikhs. Or best is what you know of the Quran al-Kareem and what you know of the Hadith al-Sharif and what you know of the very Allah who has said. And he said that you can tell it in a way, in your own words, that people would understand. Because Quran al-Azim is in Arabic. And even the Turkish Veliullah writes in languages which, if I would tell it to you, many of you would misunderstand. So in a way, my position, which was, by the way, for my sheikh, also was a translator, because I have learned most of the things from him by translating him from Turkish into English for our people. And the job of a translator is a wonderful thing, because what you do is you hear, one, two, you translate it, three, you say it. So at least that it passes through your brain in a very intense form three times instead of once. Now I remember my second sheikh who used to teach me things from night till the morning prayer time in a way that finally I would tell him, please stop, because I don't understand anything what you say anymore. No, he would say, throw it into the bag over your shoulder, and whenever you need it, all that you will have to do is put your hand over your shoulder and it will come right into your hand. Sefer Baba Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that. And indeed he was right. I mean, even those things, you know, which seemed to me that it wasn't even going into my brain anymore, but it must have, because when the need comes truly, I put my hand, you know, into my bag behind it, and it comes right out. So it's safe not to say anything from oneself. And I am sure they were perfectly right, because no matter how wise you are, how experienced you are, I think we don't have the right to say anything ourselves except repeat what we have heard from those who know. Ah, birisi yudum, soğuk su verse ne olur? Allah onu Kevser'den içirsin. Thank you very much. Yani o yarınki hadiseyi söyleyeyim mi, söylemeyeyim mi bilmiyorum. Zannedecekler ki hani bir mecburiyet.
Evet.
Mecburiyet öyle değil desem dahi gene de mecburiyet zannedecekler.
Evet.
En iyisi derfit.
Bir de kimle neyle karşılaşacağımızı da bilmiyoruz.
Bilmiyoruz. Evet. Aslında biliyoruz. Biz şımarık namussuzlarız. Biz zannediyoruz herkes.
Eyvallah.
Hmm. Ah, bizi ne şımarttılar, ne şımarttılar. Bak hiç Müslüman kıyafetinde kimse yok. Herkes Mikel gibi. I was saying that there, with the exception of our heads, there is nobody who you can identify as a Muslim here. They're all like you.
Playful tonight. You're very playful tonight. It's good to see that. You're teasing us.
I always wanted Mikhail to be a CIA, but he didn't do it. I always wanted somebody to be FBI, CIA from us. But
I have a conscience.
Huh?
I have a conscience.
I suppose that's what is the problem.
If anyone was a CIA or FBI, they won't tell you.
No, the kind that they wouldn't tell on me. Did I ever tell you that a CIA guy came who was Greek? He had a Greek name.
Right.
I was visited with them twice. But the Greek was really nice, you know. I mean, we were sort of, you know.
They agreed with each other.
The first one was Irish. sort of, when he came, he did this. I said, come on.
I'm sure over the last 38 years, there have been spies in here. And we are very fortunate because we are people who are attempting to have faith.
The funny thing is the reason of that visit was, you know, so I had all this real estate, which I got it cheap, and when the price went up, I was selling them all. So they come and said, I hear that you are selling everything and you are going to leave the country. I said, look, I mean, I'm selling everything, not everything, you know, as much as I can, you know, but I ain't going to leave the country. And besides, if I am an American citizen, if I am going to leave, I'm not going to ask permission. I've got the right to leave wherever I want to go. You know, I mean, it's against the law, you know, to go outside. Well, is it true? No, I said, it's not. I mean, not going anywhere.
Somebody has a question.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
Earlier you mentioned that Shaitan attack us from every angle, but he cannot attack from the inside. But I thought whenever he tried to play us like mind game, he tried to control our minds, it's like attacking from the inside. Could you explain a little bit?
Şeytani layinin her taraftan saldırabileceğini söylediniz. Dışarıdan.
Ben söylemedim, Allah söyledi. I didn't say it in the Quran, Allah said so.
Dışarıdan her açıdan saldırır fakat içeriden saldıramaz dediniz. Bize vesvese verirken, aklımızın içine vesvese üflerken içeriden sayılmıyor mu?
O bizim kendi. This is our own dear little private darling devil which is inside us, which gives us the vaswasa. No, it's really very easy to defend yourself from no matter wherever he enters, attacks. I mean, you can defend yourself because, as I said, he's stupid. I mean, he really. I mean, come on. He tries to fool you with things which is attractive to you. I mean, with beautiful women, with money, with fame, with compliments, and this and that. So, I mean, anybody, you must say that each and every one, loves to be, say, oh, you are great, you are this, and you are, there is a Sufi saying, whoever is against me is my friend, and whoever praises me is my enemy. But that is not the shaitan outside, this is the shaitan inside. The one who gives you the arrogance, thinking that you are better than other people and this and that. The other one outside, he says, come on, look, everybody is drinking, is so happy, why don't you, instead of drinking tea, drink wine? I mean, you can defend yourself against that, right? Or look how neighbor's wife has nicer legs than your wife. Why don't you try to flirt with her or something? You can defend yourself against that. And it's that kind of a thing. Yeah. I mean, look, everybody is eating pork. Haven't you tasted pork sausages? How much better it is than kosher soy sausages? You can defend yourself against that. That's the kind of thing which he comes out with, the idiot. Yeah.
You told the story yesterday. You told a story yesterday about the red shoes.
Oh, yeah. That's really a good one. No, but there is that poem which I asked Guzi to have it printed, but I think she didn't have it.
She did. She put everything outside, on the table.
Oh. Well, that's very nice. Guzi, where are you? Can you bring them over? If it's outside.
Guzi oldu akşam. Hadi.
There we go.
Yok mu?
Making the old man get up.
Bugün burada değil
zannetmiyorum. The trainee got it.
Apprentice. Now, this poem originally was written by the progeny of Hazreti Sivasi, Hazreti Sheikh, and who died in 1960s. I'm saying that I'm a translator, so I translated because the way you would read it was written for the Turks, and it was written for 100 years ago. So, I mean, for the understanding of today, it would have been not, I think, as effective as I translated it. Now, who wants it? You can take one. I think it's very amusing. It is called The Resignation of Satan. Whoever wants it, you can have one.
Sanırım bizim web sitesinde de var o.
Benimki mi var? Var herhalde, evet. Gerçekten. I think it's very funny.
Ah. Baba.
Here is another picture of the
Lord. Oh, bir tane daha yapmış.
Ooh. Our artist is here.
Really, very good.
Here.
Thank you.
Look.
Kiss Papa's hand. Good.
Here you go. Very good. Very good. The camel is delightful. Look at the camel there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Very pretty.
What happened? He took it and went away?
It was something wrong with the print.
Something wrong with the print.
It was something wrong with the print.
Huh?
It was a few on the top and then the rest was
all
something
the rest
else.
Are bad?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing? You brought it back through.
Baba, there was only 3 copies, the rest are voters registration forms.
Did you? What? Did you?
Oy vermek için kayıt formuymuş aslında. Yani 3 tanesi hariç. 3 tanesi hariç. Diğerleri kayıt formuymuş.
What?
It was the wrong
thing. It was the wrong stack. Where they are, Baba? Is it on the website?
It's on the website.
It's on the website.
This is what?
This is all.
You did?
No.
New York State voter registration form.
Yeah.
Incredible. Well, I see. Okay.
It was put out yesterday, so probably everything is gone.
Well, everything is gone. So, if anybody else wants, there is one here. So the shaitan complains that the human beings can do things what he used to do better now, and that he feels terrible about it, that he's not needed anymore. So he asked to be retired from Allah Ta'ala, and he said that if your bottomless treasures have been exhausted by all these thieves around human beings, then I'll take my leave me without a pension. I'll go and ask it from men. Çetin yok. Gene.
Çetin'in sesi boğazı ağrıyordu. Hmm. Pazartesi günü.
Hmm.
Belki hastadır. Belki de gelir. Son dakika girme huyu da var.
Belki hazırladılar mı meydanı?
Meydanı hazırladı zannediyorum.
Aha. İdare ederiz. Gayet güzel yaptık geçen. Geçen sefer kaside maside yok. Ha. Vay, güzel gitti. Anything else? Principal task in tasavvuf is precisely to be able to identify the ego, yeah, and somebody else other than ego in oneself. Yeah. Of course, the ego if you want to has really covered the imprisoned, if you want to, our soul, and he doesn't want us, you know, to be in contact with it. One thing which is of extreme importance in the human being is that which separates us from the animals. That's to say, it's the gray cells, the mind. The mind is made out of flesh. So it really identifies with the flesh. So he wants fun and games and comfort and wealth, and sunshine and all these things. But at the same time, I think we, each and every one of us, we know that we can also use it for other things than sort of material life. For instance, mathematics is one of the things, you see. And there are sort of philosophy, although Islam doesn't look at philosophy very favorably, but philosophy, mathematics, metaphysics, you see, there are lots of things which the brain is capable of. But so somehow or another, if we can exercise our brain to preoccupy itself and exercise itself with non-material, non-worldly things, it may be able to penetrate into this dungeon where the soul is imprisoned. All what we need is contact, with that which is other than the ego. Yeah. But many of us, which is called, there are levels, as you know, there is nafs ammara, nafs lawama, nafs mulhima, etc. There are seven levels. Yeah. To be able to raise from the state of slavery to our egos, that we have to raise to the level of self-accusation, self-criticism. Yeah? I mean, that won't do. I mean, the way I am living, the way I am thinking, the way I am behaving, it won't do. So, there is this feeling, this uncomfortable feeling, when it starts coming into you, that's a very good sign. Yeah. Up to a point, we have to use our brain. But after that point, you can't use it anymore. It's another form of intelligence. How do you call